here. For those of you who don't know me, if you're a guest joining us today, we're so glad that you're here. So glad that you're here for this service. And we're continuing a series we've called You Asked For It. And really, the big idea is this. We want to ask and answer some of the questions that a lot of us have throughout the course of life. A lot of us, they come up in our lives. And if we're honest, they can cause us to stumble. They can cause us to question God. God, are you there? Are you really there? And the reality is that all of us have questions. Some of us have questions that we can't answer. Some of us have questions that we finally come to some sort of peace about. But a lot of times we have questions that we can't answer. And as a result, I believe there's many people in our world that have questions about God, and they're either too afraid to ask them or too afraid to admit that they've got unbelief, and so they just leave them be, and they don't answer those questions. And as you know, that we don't deal with those questions. They don't go away. So we want to talk about those. In fact, if you've got questions for us throughout this series, I think next week is going to be one of our final weeks on this series. We'd love to answer your questions, your big questions. Maybe you've got something burning in your mind about God or who he is or the Bible. You can submit your questions on our website at newheart.us/ask anonymously. You say, hey, I'm just asking for a friend, right? You got a question for a friend? Go ahead and ask us. Or you can email ask@newheart.us. Again, we'd love to answer your questions because it's important that we talk about those things, because we've all got questions, right? We've all got doubts in our minds. And before we get into the big idea for today and specific thing I want to talk about, I want to share kind of our key scripture for this series. It's from the book of Mark, chapter 9. It's a story of a man who comes to Jesus with his need. He's got a son who's in need of healing. And he comes to Jesus, and this is what he says in Mark 9:22. He says, "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." And Jesus answered and said, "What do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes." And this is, I think, the most important part of this scripture, verse 24. The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but please help me to overcome my unbelief." Now, I believe that is probably the most important question we can ever ask of God. The most important question we can ever ask is, God, will you help me to overcome my unbelief? I trust you. I'm bringing this situation to you in my life, but I still got questions. I still got doubts. I still got areas where I don't fully believe that you can do what you say you're going to do. God, I believe, but will you help me in that unbelief? And that is the question that I think is the most important and maybe righteous prayer that we could ever pray. And what I would submit to you this morning is that many of the other questions we have of God, some of the questions that we've answered over this series, some of the questions that we're going to talk about today, are not really a result of questioning God or disbelieving God of the Bible. The God that Jesus describes as his heavenly father when we read the pages of the New Testament, what I believe sometimes we bring to the table is we have trouble believing this wrong perspective of God. We have this wrong view of who God is and what he's like, and maybe that's shaped by a number of different things, but we have these wrong views of God, and as a result, sometimes I believe we start rejecting those false views of God. We talked about this last week, about some of the false perspective we have, and we called this God the on-demand God. Sometimes we'll come to God and we'll think of him like an on-demand TV channel. And we flip the script and miss this idea that God doesn't exist for us, but in fact, as the creator, we exist for God. We exist for him. And there's something important about that. And this morning I want to talk about a question I get, really more than a question. It's a sentiment I hear all across our culture, and I see many people asking these days. And it's a phenomenon I like to call goosebump God. Say goosebumps. Right? Goosebumps. You ever get the goosebumps? You ever have those happen to you? So I want to talk about goosebump God, because this is the question I hear. I want to believe in God, but I just don't feel him. And the question is, again, is God there even if I can't feel him? Even if I don't sense that he's there? They'd say, how can you believe in a God that you can't see, you can't hear, you can't feel? And I see and have conversations with people all the time that have this question. They want to have an emotional experience. They want to experience God. They want to get goosebumps when they experience God. And it begs the question, Is God there even if I can't feel him? And I believe that's an important question to ask because we have all sorts of experiences with God. Maybe you say, man, I pray. I've heard people say this to me. I pray, and I'm not sure that God's even hearing me. I'm not sure that God's listening to the words that I'm speaking. Is God listening? Or other people will say, hey, you know what? I'm committing my life to read this Bible. I open it up and I read the pages of Scripture. Maybe you're following along on our Bible reading plan as a church. You say, I'm just not feeling it. I'm not getting anything out of it. I hear other people in my community group, they'll read it and they get something out of it. I'm missing something. Or some will say, I come to church, I come to worship, and I sing the songs, and you know, Tim Hawkins, by the way, is great. Any of you heard of Tim Hawkins? He's got a great comedy routine about our postures of worship. And, you know, he's like, you know, sometimes we'll try, like we'll get out of our comfort zones. You know, we'll go from here. And I'm going to raise my hands today, right? And we go like this, or we do the baby holding one, or, you know, the field goal position. And we'll try those postures of worship. But sometimes we're like, man, I'm just not feeling. I'll look around and see people, kneeling, and they're feeling it. And I'm not. I don't get it. I don't feel God. And if you've ever wondered where God is, I want to talk about just that today. Now, but just for fun, before we get started, let me ask you a question. If you're a follower of Jesus, would you, with a show of hands, say, how have you ever felt the presence of God? You felt like, man, I felt God's presence is there. Okay, awesome. Yeah, I mean, we felt, man, God is there. And let me ask you a question, though. How did you know? How did you know God's presence was there? What was it? Some of you'd say, man, yeah, I felt God's presence was there, just like the title of my message. I got goosebumps, right? I could feel there was something supernatural at work around me. Others would say, man, I got that, you know, that tingly-wingly feeling in your tummy? You know what I mean? There's no other way to describe it. I felt something in my stomach. Some of you'd say, man, I felt the presence of God. I got emotional, like there was something that just broke. The tears started coming out of my eyes, and I couldn't help it. I'll hear other people describe and say, man, I really sensed the presence of God, I felt an overwhelming peace, right? Like there's all this turbulence and chaos in my life, and all of a sudden, there was peace, right? Those are those experiences we have. But let me further push back and say, you can feel the goosebumps in the presence of God. You can get emotional and cry in the presence of God. You can feel that tingly feeling in your stomach. You can even feel peace and calm, even in the middle of a chaotic season in the presence of God. But if we're honest, those feelings can come in other ways too, can't they? I mean, don't you know that, man, when I first met my wife, she walked past me and I smelled her hair and it was like I got goosebumps, you know what I mean? I got that tingly feeling in my stomach, right? I mean, it's like, wow, there's something amazing. I got emotional and I've cried in the presence of God, but man, I watched a movie last night and I got emotional and cried. I've seen YouTube videos that have made me emotional and cry, right? I watched Saving Private Ryan and there was dust in the air or something because, you know, my eyes started watering, right? We can get emotional in other situations. And in the presence of God, we certainly can feel calmness. We can certainly feel a peace, a supernatural peace. But don't you know that, man, especially those of you who have little ones anywhere near your lives, you get those kids away, it's like, turn on some soft, smooth jazz, light some candles, sit in a nice bubble bath. You can feel calm. You can feel peace, right? I'm just dreaming. I've never imagined that. It's been a while since I've soared that sort of thing, but yeah, I just need to imagine it. But you can have that calm, easy feeling in other ways as well. And my hope today is that as we come to the God's Word, that you would both understand and believe that the presence of God is so much bigger than our feelings, so much bigger than those emotional feelings that we feel. The presence of God is so much bigger than that. In fact, I want to set some of you at ease, and here's an idea for you. If you don't always feel God's presence, you are in good company. If you don't always feel God's presence is next to you or close to you, you're in good company. See, I would submit to you that with every hand of ours that was raised, it said, man, I felt the presence of God. I've sensed God near to me at some point in my life. That every single one of us would be there to admit that there are moments and seasons when I don't experience that, when I don't feel God's closeness, when I don't sense that. And let me just say, what I love about this book, the Bible, is that it's replete with stories of men and women just like you and me, people who live on earth, that love God, that try and serve God and search after God. And there's men and women that struggle even feeling God's presence. And the Psalms are a great example of where we can learn some of that wisdom. One of the psalmists, a man whose name was Heman, I like to call him He-Man, and I imagine him, you know, wearing a tight pair of underwear with giant muscles. He's a real strong guy, right? That's how I imagine him, but that might not be the truth. But I get visions of a real strong guy, and then I hear what he says in Psalm 88, 13 and 14. He says, "O Lord, I cry out to you. I keep on pleading with you day by day. O Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face from me?" So I want you to imagine one of the writers of Scripture, a psalmist, he cries out to God and says, "God, I don't feel you. God, I don't sense that you're here. God, even I don't sense that you're around right now. Are you really there?" And you can look at over and over at figures in the Bible, men and women who loved God and served God and walked closely with God, like a man like David, who was the king of Israel, a man who the Bible itself describes as a man after God's own heart. And over again, man, you see this guy who has a close relationship with God, and yet we see him right in the Psalms, like one of the ones we looked at last week. He says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Of course, he goes on to say that "I'll fear no evil, for you're with me." But there's moments that we feel like, man, the shadows of life overwhelm us. The difficulties and the things that are happening, it's like we can't hear from God. We can't see God. We can't feel God. And there's times where David cries out, "God, where are you? I can't feel you. Why aren't you answering my prayer? Why are you allowing my enemies to overrule me and overcome me? Where are you?" Even Jesus, as he walked on the earth, what a great example of we believe Jesus was fully God, and he left heaven behind to come and be a man and live life on this earth. And there's a moment in time, I just imagine he went from being in heaven with the Father, having that close intimacy, and then we see him on the cross. And on the cross, we believe and know, the Bible says that Jesus took upon himself the sin of humanity, your sin and mine. And in that moment, it says that the sun was blotted out. There was darkness over the face of the earth right in the middle of the day. And it was as if God himself had turned his back on Jesus. And Jesus cries out from the cross. I'll read the English. He said, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me?" So there are moments where Jesus himself felt as a man, even being separated from God. Now, many of you are aware of C.S. Lewis. If you're not, if you've never read C.S. Lewis's works, great Christian author, loved the Lord, wrote great books like the Chronicles of Narnia. Maybe you saw in the movie, you haven't read the book, but they're great, great books, great stories. But incredible author, wrote Screwtape Letters and Mere Christianity. And there are several occasions he wrote about, I won't go into detail, but he wrote about how he felt like, "God, I can't feel you in this season." He describes this one point where he felt like, man, it was like the door of heaven was closed and latched and then latched again. And I couldn't feel God's presence was there. And so this idea that if you don't always feel the presence of God, you're in good company. Because those that love God, there's not always that feeling that's there. And what I want to do today is suggest that there are three reasons, there's many reasons why we don't sense God, but there's three possible reasons why we'd say, "Yeah, I believe in God, but I just don't feel him right now." There's certainly more, but I want to give you just three if you're taking notes. Why don't we always feel God? The first idea is this. It's possible that maybe you're over-sensationalizing it. That's a big word. That's a $12 word. I'm sorry. But there's no better way to say it than that. John chapter 6, verse 30, gives us a glimpse at people that were looking to Jesus for a sign. And this is what they said to him. They said to Jesus, "Jesus, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do?" Right? And you just imagine, come on, dance, Jesus. They're waiting for him to show them a sign. "After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Now, these guys, they were just like us, weren't they? They were looking to God. They wanted a big sign, right? They're waiting for, like, all right, Jesus, we heard what you said. Now we're waiting for the angel with, you know, the sign, you know, the with the arrow pointing at you, right? They're waiting for the trumpets to start blaring, to see the angel descend and start blowing the trumpets. They're waiting for this big thing. They wanted proof that God was with them. And how ironic that they speak it to Emmanuel, God with us. They speak it to Jesus. They say, God, we want proof that you're really here. Will you show us a sign? It's hilarious to me. And that's what happens to some of us, right? We read our Bible or we're praying and we're hoping. Maybe we've seen Bruce Almighty and we're hoping for, you know, like, you know, Morgan Freeman just to show up and start talking with us, right? We're expecting the trumpets to start blaring, and for one reason or another, it doesn't happen the way we expect. And this happens all the time in our lives, right? It can happen when we're reading the Bible. It can happen in a worship experience. It can happen when even we're just needing wisdom. Like the most common occurrence of when we need wisdom, every night in my house, it's, what should we eat for dinner, right? And sometimes it's like, I don't know, what do you want to eat? I don't know, what do you think we should eat? And sometimes, don't you wish, like, Lord, will you give me a sign, right? Like, Lord, should we eat In-N-Out Burger? Or should we eat Chick-fil-A tonight? And we're just waiting for the heavens to part and the trumpets of the angels to go, doo, 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 doo. Thou shall eat In-N-Out Burger, and you should get a chocolate shake too, right? We're waiting for that, right? We wish that that would happen in our life. Maybe that's just me. I have a very vivid imagination. But sometimes we're waiting for a sign from God, for an angel with a trumpet, or we're waiting for something. You know, I mean, we just want that sign spinner angel just to be like, ooh, you're supposed to go in and out. See the sign? We're waiting for it. And though we don't say that, I think sometimes we do over-sensationalize it. Because God doesn't often show up in that way. At least he hasn't in my experience. And there are times that you may feel God's presence, and there's times that maybe you won't. I'll never forget when I was in high school, I followed a girl into a church because that was where she was going. And so I went, and I went in this church, and somewhere along the way in the first couple weeks, there was a performance that happened at the church. And man, the speaker said, hey, if you want to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, I want you to come down front. And man, I just stood right up and I walked down to the front and I gave my life to the Lord. And in that moment, it really was one of those goosebump kind of moments. I really felt like, man, God, you're here. God, you're in the house. God, you're drawing me to yourself. There was something there where I just really experienced the presence of God. I have no other way of describing it. And I felt it. I felt the tingly winglies, you know. I felt the goosebumps. I felt the peace and the calm. I felt all of those things. And it was an amazing experience. And a few weeks went by, and I'm in this high school youth group, and our church was having water baptisms as we do here very regularly on Sunday morning. And if you've never been dunked, by the way, this is my plug. It's time to get dunked, okay? So newheart.us/baptism. Let us dunk you. But as we're getting ready for that, I had a couple of my friends in youth group, and man, they're like, they're laying it down. They're like, man, when I got water baptized, this amazing thing happened. Like, the heavens parted, and like a beam of light came down in the baptismal. And one of them was like, man, I came out of the water, and I just started speaking in tongues, and I had this heavenly language. I'm like, dude, they're setting the bar like pretty high for me. So I walk into this thing like, all right, God, I'm ready. I'm ready for the angels. I'm ready for the trumpets. I'm ready for whatever it is. And I got water baptized. And water baptism is really just an external demonstration of what God has already done internally. It's something that Jesus asks us to do. And so I was like, I know I'm going to get water baptized. Jesus asked me to do it. It's an outward symbol of an inward work. But this crazy thing happened, man. I get in the tank and I'm like, all right, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. The worship band is doing their thing and they're playing music. And I'm like, all right, guys, turn down your instruments. The trumpets are getting ready to play. You know what I mean? I'm right, like, get ready. The heavens are going to part. I know there's no sunroof in the church, but get ready. They're going to rip it open. It's going to happen. And I go out into the water and I come up and it's like, no trumpets. And I'm like, I'm not like speaking in tongues. I'm not like, I don't have this goosebump sort of feeling. And I don't have that experience that maybe I had expected to have. But I'll tell you what, God was still in the house. And God was still with me. And it took me a while to realize, hey, It's not always going to happen. They're not always going to have the trumpets and the signpost and the angels with the signs. I'm not always going to feel the goosebumps. But we have to understand that, yes, we can feel God. Yes, we can experience emotions and feelings that remind us of God's presence. But that's not always true, because feelings are not evidence of the presence of God. Although we might feel things when God's presence is here. See, if you've always felt the presence of God around you, if you always got the goosebumps every time you felt the presence of God, first of all, you'd have it all the time, because God's presence is everywhere. But if you always felt the presence of God, you wouldn't have to have faith. And the Bible declares that without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. There's something important about us having faith in God. Some of us are looking for that goosebump feeling, the audible voice, the angel with the trumpet, maybe even the quiet whisper from God. And sometimes maybe we'll experience God in those ways, but that's not always the way we do. So we don't always feel God, sometimes because we're looking for something that's not there. We're over-sensationalizing it. The second truth, if you're taking notes this morning, is this, is that we don't always feel God, maybe because our heart has been hardened. Now, this is like a deep, heavy thing, so let me just unpack it for a little bit. What does that mean? Jesus talks it to some folks, and this is what he says in Matthew 13, 14. He says, "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend, for the hearts of those people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear what they have, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." Now, there is a spiritual reality, and this isn't meant to be scary or anything like that, but there is a spiritual reality that if we're not careful, we can become desensitized to the things of God. We can over-sensationalize it, but we can also desensitize ourselves, get numb to the things of God and the presence of God. And we can allow our hearts to grow cold towards Him. The Bible tells us that our hearts are hardened by sin that separates us from God. Now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, let me just ask you this question. This is a quiz. Are you ready? You ready to speak up? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. As a follower of Jesus, if I mess up and sin, does that mean I'm no longer a Christian? No. No, of course not. Jesus died to pay for my sins. Does it mean that God no longer loves me anymore? No. No. Of course not. You're still a follower of Jesus. But sin can break our intimacy with God, our closeness with God. For an example, say you got a husband and a wife, and a husband or the wife commits adultery. What happens? Are they still married? Yeah, they are. But are they still as close, as intimate as they were before? No. That intimacy is broken. That trust is broken. And that sin separates and breaks the fellowship with God. And this is what happens with God. See, we all live with sin. We all struggle. We all stumble. We're all imperfect. We're being perfected day by day as we walk with Jesus. But we mess up, and sometimes we're just willing to say, hey, this isn't a big sin, right? We say that to ourselves. This isn't a big one, so I'm okay with it. I'll just keep living with this one. And over time, by not dealing with our sin, those things can become like plaque in our heart. We just allow ourselves to live with envy, to live with lust, to live with those things that we have, that we say, man, those are okay for us to deal with. Some of you guys don't understand what I'm saying, so let me give you a better example. Maybe you've seen the perennial classic movie, A Christmas Story. How many guys have seen that movie? It's almost time for Christmas, as some people say. But in the movie, there's two brothers that are there, and younger brother is named Randy, all right? We'll show you a picture in a minute. Wait just a second. But Randy, oh, there he is. You saw him. Psych. I tried to mess up our visuals, people, but go ahead. Put him back up there. They already seen it. So Randy's in the story, and one day it's snowing outside, and Mom is wanting to dress Randy to go to school, and being the baby, She wants to make sure he's taken care of. I don't know what it is about moms and wanting to make sure their kids are warm, but they really are very serious about this, I've learned. And so she wraps Randy up really good. I mean, she's got a snowsuit, and then she puts a scarf on him, and then she puts another scarf on him the other direction. She puts a wool hat. And of course, at some point, before he's off to go to school, he's standing like you see him standing, and he says, "Mom, I can't put my arms down," right? And he makes this great line. Now, I want you to imagine with me that Randy, as you see him on the screen, imagine that he walks outside and it's 15 degrees. It's cold. Maybe it's even 0 degrees. Some of you guys are back east. You're used to colder weather than that. But what's he going to feel as he walks outside? Is he going to feel cold? No. He's going to feel warmth. His mom made sure of that, that he was going to feel warmth. Now, why? It's cold outside, but why doesn't he feel it? Because he's wrapped up so stinking tight, right? He's got so much insulation between him and the coldness that's outside. And what I would submit to you is that sometimes in our lives, we insulate ourselves against the things of God. For one reason or another, we've just put on the scarf, and we put on the hat, and we put on that snow gear. And though God's presence is available to us, though his warmth is there, we've insulated ourselves from it. And if we allow sin to continually rule in our life, it's not that God's not there. It's that there's something that's been separating and blocking us from feeling the intimacy and goodness with God. See, God's still there, but sometimes we just can't feel him. See, it's important that we regularly allow God to clean out our hearts, to cleanse us from the inside out. David knew this. In fact, at one point in his life, after he made a ginormous mistake, he realized the foolishness of his ways. He wrote in Psalm 51, verse 10, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now, there may be some of you that need to pray that prayer today. God, would you just clean out my heart? If there's any hardness, if there's any insulation that's there, would you help me to do that? Third and finally, some of the ways why we don't feel God is maybe it's that God wants to draw you closer. Now, let me say this clearly and directly, that you were made for a close and abiding relationship with God, the God of the universe, and he wants to have a relationship with you. And on this side of eternity, there's going to be moments where it's going to be hard for us to sense and to feel God's presence, but that does not mean that he's not there. In fact, the Bible says that he's drawing you to himself. Acts 17, verse 24 gives us this picture. It says that he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Verse 26 continues, "From one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth, and he decided beforehand where they should rise or fall, and he determined their boundaries." In other words, God knew you'd be here. God knew you'd be now. He knew this time was for you. Verse 27 gives us this picture, though. It says, "His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far away from any one of us." Let me just say, you've heard the expression, familiarity, it breeds what?
Contempt.
But absence, as they say, it makes the heart grow fonder. There was a time when I realized that. I told you about the goosebumps I got when I met the most beautiful woman in the world, my wife. And there was a time that, man, we started dating. And the night we decided we were going to start dating was actually the early morning we decided we were going to start dating was the day that I was leaving to go to college. I was going to leave about 400 miles away from where she was. And so I got to experience this fact. As I told my kids, and I'm going to keep telling them for the next 20 years, man, when mom and dad started dating, I didn't have a cell phone. I just had a beeper. You guys remember beepers? We had a beeper, and when I went to college, I didn't even have a phone in my dorm. I had one of those rectangular machines out in the lobby, and I had to put these round quarters into it to make phone calls. It was crazy. And so she beeped me, and I'd have to go out and call her. It was crazy. But I learned this truth. That meant as I was separated from her, I longed to be with her. It made my heart grow closer to her. And I'm so thankful. I wasn't thankful then for that, but I'm thankful now for that. And there are seasons now with five boys in the house and chaos ensuing all over that I long for that closeness, for that time to be with my wife without all the crazy people around, right? I love my boys. But there's those times, and I want to ask, what if even now God is bringing you to a place where you'd say, I long for more of God. I long to be close to God. See, and here's the reality. Just because God is silent does not mean that God is absent. Just because you don't feel him doesn't mean he's not there. I want to close with this scripture, Jeremiah 29:13. It says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. Let me tell you the great truth about God. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. That if we search for him, he'll be found by us. He'll make himself available to us. And God is always available. He's always around, always present in our life. And my prayer and my hope this morning is that maybe today for the first time, or maybe a reminder today, that God's presence is more than just a feeling. And I hope that you will feel the transcendent peace of God as we worship, as you come to the Bible, that you'd feel the tingly-winglies and that you'd have the emotions, and then you'd feel the peace of God. But more than that, I hope and pray that even in those moments where you don't feel him, even when you can't sense him, you'd be reminded that just because God is silent doesn't mean he's absent. He's still there with you. Now this morning, I don't know where you're at or what you've been through. Maybe you've over-sensationalized. You're looking for a sign from God. Maybe you were looking for the same sign you saw 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Or you've heard someone tell a story of how they had this amazing encounter with God and you're expecting God to show up in the same way. Or maybe today, as we've been talking, the Lord's reminding you, man, your heart, you've allowed it just to be insulated to the things of God. You've desensitized yourself to the things of God. I believe the Lord wants to soften some of our hearts today, to clean out the crud that built up. Or perhaps this morning, God is reminding you that this season is meant to draw you closer to him, to allow you to draw closer to him. And my prayer for you is that you would remember that God is not far away from any one of us. Although sometimes it feels it, that God is present and available and ready. And my prayer and hope is that today would be a beginning point for many of us, maybe a new beginning point of a new pursuit of God, of a new drawing near and seeking after God. Because here's the deal, when we seek after God, we'll find him. When we knock, the door will be open to us. But we've got to press into God. We've got to pursue him. The question is, will we? Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord in prayer this morning?